Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in. You know, we at City Church, we don't do the Easter plays, and they're amazing. And Word of Life over in Greensburg puts on the most amazing Easter deal, and it's wonderful. We don't do the, some of the plays and musicals and those kind of things. The Lord said to me a while back, he said, son, he said, let others do the pageantry. He said, I want you to celebrate me. And so, you know, because I have a lot of people, they ask me, you having a Monday, Thursday service? And I said, no, there's so many churches that do such an excellent job, and we'd rather just go be part of what they do. And what about Good Friday service? And, you know, up the State Theater in Uniontown, they just a lot of the churches in Fayette County got together, and some of you were part of that, and it was amazing. I would rather celebrate what others are doing with the pageantry, but that's, at this point, if God tells us to do something otherwise, we would, of course, but this time we're just to celebrate his presence of who he is, that he is and he's real and he's here and he's now. And so I just encourage you that today, I've been kind of a wreck all day long because I keep thinking of his love, and it keeps reaching out and touching me. It whacks me. It just messes me up. I'm sorry, but that's just his love messes you up. You can't be touched by his love and remain unchanged. You cannot. And you say, well, I haven't been changed. Okay, then maybe you just need to open up and let his love just touch you. It undoes people. And I just wanted to share with you, I was sitting with him this morning, and I'm just kind of mulling over what we're going to talk about today, and so I want to take a step a little bit earlier than what Jackie was just talking about. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 7. It's verse 36 through 50. You have to understand who Jesus is. He is God, fully God and fully man all at the same time. But the mode that he operated in, here's how you have to interpret everything Jesus did, everything, say everything, everything that he did. What he did, he was always motivated out of love, always. So if you see something and you see it as unloving, may I suggest that rather than interpreting that as something other than what it was, you change and adjust your understanding. Because it was always, God was always, it is always moved by agape love. Everything he did, everything Jesus did. When he kicked over the tables in the temple because they were turning the holy place that the people of God came to worship God, they were turning it into a place of greed and a place where it was putting people in bondage because it was making them, it was extracting money from them they didn't even have. And out of love, he kicked over those tables and he fashioned a whip. And I believe he stung some rear ends in that process. Come on, somebody. And he was, he loved everyone. even loved the Pharisees. They were probably the hardest people on the planet. Religious people are mean. When you have religion apart from the love of God, when you just have law, it's mean. Anybody ever experienced religion? I'm talking about where it was about the rules and the behavior and what's on the outside and not what's on the inside. You ever, I mean, don't point at anyone, but you know what I'm talking about, right? It's mean. It's condemning. It's harsh. It's controlling. It's manipulative. And that was the Pharisees to a large part. These religious rulers, man, there it is, religious rulers. They're going to tell you how to act. They're going to tell you, you wash this hand and you do this with this hand. You eat this food, you don't eat that food. If you got a disease on your body, you come and you let us check it out and we'll either kick you out of the city or allow you to remain. What about love? See, Jesus healed people because he loved them. He didn't want them to be separate. That's the amazing thing about Jesus. When he confronted something that was, if you will, anti-kingdom of God, whatever it was, people behaving badly, their body behaving badly, you know, leprosy on them, blind. God never intended you to be blind. He never intended you to have leprosy. He never intended you to have cancer. He never intended you to struggle with high blood pressure or depression. But here's the thing. When Jesus met someone with leprosy, the health that was on him got on them instead of this disease on them getting on him. And why? Why could he do that? Because he took those stripes. You say, well, wait, but he healed people before he took the stripes. God doesn't pay attention to the clock. He doesn't go by your timing. He's eternal. He's not chronological. That was a brilliant statement. God is not chronological. He is eternal. Or said another way, he is kairological. The kairos time versus the chronos time. The chronos time is the tick of the clock, and it's always going in one direction. Kairos, so to give you an idea of what the difference is between chronos, there are two words in the Greek for time, chronos and kairos. Chronos is like, what time is it right now? And it is 10:54 a.m. on April the 17th, the year 2022. That is the chronos. That is the time of the day. The kairos of today is it's Easter. The significance, the importance, the event, the importance of today. That's the kairos. God is not concerned about the tick of the clock. He is Lord of time. And so... That's why he can embrace you where you're at right now. Like with your depression, with your sickness. He can embrace you with your disease. He can embrace you with your faults and your frailties. He can embrace you with your shortcomings. He can embrace you with your pride, your arrogance. He's not afraid of any of that. Why? Because he is master of all of time. He doesn't need you in the ticks of the clock to change who you are. Well, it's a process, and I'll get there one day, but until I do, I can't embrace him. And that's why you haven't been touched by the love of God. But if you allow the love of God to touch you, he becomes a Kairos Lord to you instead of a Chronos Lord, and he changes things in an instant in the twinkling of an eye. That's how God does things. He doesn't, for God, he doesn't go from 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. For God, you're at 0 and then you're at 60 and there's no in between. He takes you from unrighteousness to righteousness without a process. He is your, when he embraces you, he becomes your righteousness. He takes you from being unloved to loved now. Everyone say now. Now I want you to see that because like when he's around, you can feel it. There's a difference though between feeling that his love is near and being touched by his love. A lot of people come to church because they feel his love is near. It's kind of like a hug. There's a difference between getting a hug from someone and them getting into your heart. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, there's those people that, you know, you like to hug, but you don't know them very well, and you've never let them in, right? But then, look, you can't be around Josh Berry very long without him getting inside your heart. I think about that young man a lot. Why do I think about him a lot? Because he got inside my heart. Are you with me? Why? Because his smile, his attitude, his generosity, he's always about just loving on people. You hear what I'm saying? And so that, and he's a man. But I'm telling you, Jesus' love, that's where Josh gets his love from. And when you allow, see, I could just have hugged Josh and not let him in. Right? Because, you know, we don't want to let people in. People hurt me. I ain't letting no one in. If I let you in, you might hurt me. Well, that's because you've not been touched by the love of God. You say, well wait, just because I've been touched by the love of God doesn't mean I let people in to hurt me. Look, you understand that when God's love is in there, nothing else can get in there to hurt you. It's his love makes you full. Nothing else, there's no room for anything else. There's no room for hurt on the inside when his love is on the inside of you. Are you with me? Yes. Say amen or oh my. And that's where, so here is Jesus, and he's with the Pharisees, these religious people, and they're feeling a little bit of God's love, but they're not letting him in. Are you with me? Now, they're going to have dinner with him. They invite him over for dinner. They said, hey, Jesus, come on over, have dinner with us. Why? Because he's doing miracles all over the place, and these Pharisees are all about status, because that's what religion wants. It wants status. It wants to control you so I can be above you. Are you with me? And so now here in Luke 7:36, it says, now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there's a woman in the city who was a sinner. I believe this was Mary Magdalene. And she learned that he was at the table of the Pharisee's house. I love desperate people. I love hungry people because they don't care about religion. They'll walk right into the house of religion to find Jesus if they have to. But watch what she does. She brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Alabaster was kind of like this ceramic kind of container. Now, the significance of it, that alabaster vial was probably a year's worth of wages. Now, she made pretty good money because she was a prostitute. And see, what you would do, you would be a prostitute for a season, get lots of money, and then you would stop being a prostitute. And to get rid of kind of all the yuck, you would take and you would apply this alabaster perfume, this alabaster box perfume to yourself because you wanted all the smells of that old life off of you, right? It was kind of the carnal way to get clean, but how many of you know it cleans the outside, but it doesn't clean the inside? But I mean, this thing cost a year's worth of wages. And so, standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Those weren't tears of sadness, by the way. They were tears of joy. Do you know why? Because it wasn't long before this that he looked at her and said, go and sin no more. That's what he said to her. Go and sin no more. Why? Why did he say that to her? Because he found her on the ground at the feet of the religious men. They were picking up stones to stone her because they found her in the act of adultery. And they threw her in the dust. How many of you know that religion always takes those that are hurting and throws them into the dust of the earth? The dust of the earth represents the ways of the world, the effects of the earth. And it's what covers you, and it soils you and makes you less than what you really are. And how many of you know religion always grinds you into the dust of the earth rather than lifting you up and washing you off? If you've been touched by Jesus, if you've been touched by his love, you can't help but feel washed. You can't help but feel clean, not just on the outside, but on the inside. And so here now is this woman who he found in being ground into the dust of the earth, and these Pharisees saying to Jesus, hey, they were trying to trap him. Hey, what are we going to do about this woman? She's been caught in adultery. And he's like, really? He looks at her, and she's just a mess. And she's been in rebellion towards his father. But how many of you know that God's love is bigger than that? He reaches down, and he just begins to write in the dust, the very thing they're using to grind her identity and to remove what little bit of God could have come off of her. He just starts writing in the dust. What did he write? We don't really know. It doesn't say, but I have an idea. I believe he was saying maybe something like days and times. Maybe Thursday at 2:15. The one Pharisee went, oops, because that's when he went and visited that prostitute. Or maybe it's saying like the money box on Sunday at 4:11. Oops. That's when I took some extra out of the money box of the church. Or maybe he's saying something like Tuesday at 11 midnight. When I went out, drank just a little too much, and the Pharisee goes, oops. Then he says to him, he says, hey, listen, get your stones, get ready. Here we go, you ready? Go ahead, draw them back. Get ready. Whichever one of you doesn't have any sin, go ahead and throw it. Because one by one they left. That religious spirit was rearing up and wanted to destroy that woman so bad. She had to pay a price for her sin. Jesus looks at her and said, woman, where's your accusers? He said, Lord, there are none. He said, neither do I accuse you. He never sinned. If anyone had a right to accuse her, if anyone had a right to be indignant, to be angry at her, it was him. She violated so many laws of his father. But see, love goes beyond the law. Love forgives. He said, woman, go and sin no more. Watch what he said. He said, woman, go and sin no more. But now we fast forward. There's this dinner going on. Jesus is sitting with the Pharisees. Some of the same men that were around that circle, he's sitting with them, and this same woman comes in. Do you realize the tension that's in the room? Because listen, when love comes and confronts religion, there is tremendous tension. One is going to blink. Either you're going to walk in love, or you're going to walk in religion, but they both cannot occupy the same space. And so here's this woman, and she comes in, and she begins to weep. She, for the last week or two, she's been feeling free. Her demons are gone. She's complete. She's washed. She's clean. What do I do? What do I do with this? I don't need it anymore. I'm already, he made me clean. She says, I have to find him. I have to just love him. See, the thing about the love of God, when it touches you, it causes you to seek out God with all of your heart. Jesus said that. He said, but seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Why could he say that? Because we couldn't do it? No, he knew we could. When we're touched with the love of God, we seek out the kingdom. We seek out the king. And we just want to love him. That's why we do what we do here. Because we love him. That's why you're here. Because you love him. And so she's crying and she's taking her hair, her beautiful, beautiful hair. And you understand, when they walked, they had sandals on, but they walked on the dusty streets. I remember when I was in India, and you know, in India they don't eat meat, right? And so there's livestock everywhere. I mean, everywhere on the streets. You can't drive through the streets without there being cattle or other kind of livestock in the middle of the road. You have to blow your horn and they have to move out of the way, but you don't dare hit them or hurt them because that could be, according to their belief system, that could be grandma, right? Because they believe in reincarnation. But here's the thing, when the animals are on the street, you know, they eat from the side of the road, but then they soil on the street, right? And so when you're walking on the street, and then when they clean their sewers out, they put the sludge on the street. You can imagine the smell. And when you're walking, I mean, it's dry, and so when you're walking, it turns to dust, and that dust gets on you, gets on your feet. Now imagine if you had sandals on. And so that's on your feet. That's probably the whole way up to your calves. Because it's hot and you're sweating. And that dust of the road, it gets on you. Can I be very blunt? The crap of life gets on you. You ever feel that way? It's like, man, it just seems like all I'd get done doing is taking a bunch of crap. Listen, I've got a very sensitive olfactory system. Like I smell things that no one else around me smells a lot of the time. And when I smell strong odors, it is like, ugh. You know, like those things you plug into the wall to make the room smell. It literally gives me headache almost immediately because the smell is so strong to me. And it's offensive. Well, because to me, it's like, wait, what are you trying to cover up? I mean, that alabaster box, what was it going to try to cover up? But let's be honest now. You can cover up sin, but unless it's removed, you're not really clean. You smell like, you know, you ever hear that commercial back in the day? You know, the lady's frying fish, and then she sprays some, you know, some nasty air sanitizer, and husband comes in, well, it smells like fish and roses. God doesn't want to cover up your sin. He wants to remove it. When you're touched with the love of God, he removes your sin. Are you with me? And so here she is. She's wiping with her hair, kissing his feet. Ah! Would you do that? Do you love him? Do you love him enough? Or do you care more about your lips than you care about his feet? And when the Pharisees who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who's touching him, that she is a sinner. Here's the thing. She wasn't a sinner anymore. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Jesus answered, he turns to one of his disciples, he says, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied and said, say it, teacher. Because, you know, the disciples are all like, ooh, I can feel the tension in the room. Jesus is going to deal with this. So he said, Simon, a moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one who he forgave more. And he said to him, you've judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered the house. She gave me no water for my feet. She's wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. But she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Wait, don't miss that. Don't miss that. A couple weeks ago, when he rescued her from the Pharisees, he said, woman, go and sin no more. Here he says, woman, your sins are forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now listen, you say, oh, okay, all right, so what Jesus is saying, the moral of the story is, if you have a lot of sin, then you love Jesus a lot. But if you just have a little bit of sin, which I only have a little bit of sin. I mean, I grew up a pretty good person. I mean, yeah, I guess God forgave me. But, you know, he didn't forgive me like he forgave her. So I guess I really don't need to love him as much. That's what you got out of that? What Jesus wasn't saying she had more sin. Jesus was saying she acknowledged that she had great sin. He wasn't saying that the Pharisees only sinned a little bit. He was saying they only acknowledged that they needed forgiven for a little bit. They were just as sinful as her. They were filled with the deadly poison of rebellion against God. As a matter of fact, may I submit to you that their sin was worse than hers, because their sin was taking a whole lot of others to hell. You heard about the taxi cab and the preacher, right? So taxi cab and preacher both die and go to heaven. And they go up and you know, the preacher is shown his house, and it's a really nice house. It's a small mansion. The taxi cab driver is given this place. It's like 10 times the size of the preacher's house. The preacher's like talking to one angel, and he says, hey, look, man, I've been preaching the gospel all my life, and my house is this big, and the taxi cab driver's just a taxi cab driver, and his house is like this big. What's the deal? He said, oh, he scared a whole lot more hell out of people than you ever did. All right. I need to end. The Pharisees kept their heart closed. They felt like they needed to be forgiven little. She opened her heart up. she knew she had to be forgiven everything. She knew she could not remain as she was. She knew that if she didn't connect with the love of God, she was dead. Because the word of God is very clear. It says the wages of sin, not the wages of this amount of sin, or the wages of if you have 2.2 amounts of sin more than anyone else. It says the wages of sin is death. Say that. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean in the sweet by and by when we meet in that beautiful place. It is saying that the wages of sin is death. You can have that over here. If you hold on to your sin, you can have it. But there's wages to it. If you embrace his love, if you are touched by his love, it will cause you to seek out Jesus and kiss his feet and love him like he loves you. And if you have any sin, you have great sin. For the Pharisee, for the prostitute, for you. I'm grateful because he forgave all my sin, my rebellion, my foolishness, and he continues to forgive. When I fall short, he allows me to walk in his love all the time and to be free, so that not only is his love touching me, but it grows tentacles and it reaches out and wants to touch others. That is the love of God. That is what he did. That is why he was crucified on Friday, was dead and buried, and descended to hell, and on Saturday placed all of our sin in hell where it belonged, all of our sin, every sin that you've ever sinned. If you allow his love to touch you, that sin immediately is transferred where it belongs. Stand up with me as we close. Hey, listen, if you could. Don't measure your sin against the person next to you. Here's how you measure your sin. Next to Jesus. The Lamb of God, the perfect one who has never sinned. Either I have sin or I don't. If I have sin, it is more than enough to send me to hell. It's not about my good outweighing my bad. It is about if I have sin, if I carry sin, then the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, if you receive it, if you accept it, is eternal life. And here's how Jesus offers it to you. He goes like this. Receive it. Receive my love. I am the gate for the love of the Father. I stand before you. Knock at the door of your heart. I don't know if you've ever saw that painting, but that painting, it says that Jesus stands and knocks. Growing up, I saw that painting and I was like, but wait, there's no handle on the door on the outside. That's right. He won't force his way in. He'll stand and he'll knock. And he'll come back and he'll knock again. You know, for some of you here and some of you listening and some of you watching, Jesus, right now, he's standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking and he's saying, just let me in. Yeah, you've got sin, but I can take it all away. I want to speak to you. I want to say to you these words, go and sin no more. And then I want to say to you, your sin has been forgiven. See, he required something of that woman. Before he said, your sins are forgiven, he said, go and sin no more. It's not enough just to say, well, Jesus, you be my Savior. Jesus never asked you to make him your Savior. He always commanded you to make him your Lord. And when you obey, your sins are forgiven. Are you with me? And so he stands before you. Just bow your head for a moment. He's standing in front of you and he's knocking on your door. Only you have access to the handle. You can either keep the door closed or you can open it. If you open it, he will come in and he will dine at your table and shower him. Shower him with your kisses. Shower him with your tears. Shower him with your love, for there's much to rejoice in. For you, a sinner, have been forgiven. You've been set free. Your purpose is now attached to you. Your identity is now given. You become a new creation because he has come in to your life. And if that's you, you say, I want that. Preacher, I want that. I want that love of, I don't want to keep my heart closed up right now. I want to open my heart. And if that's you, then just take your hands and just stretch them out like he stretched his out. And just say, Jesus, I want you. I want your love. I want to be so filled up with your love that there isn't anything that can get in. I don't have to defend myself. Your love fills me up. I don't even have to get offended because your love fills me up. I don't have to feel bad because your love fills me up. In your love is who I am. In your love is every good thing that I need. In your love is all of the purpose and the identity. So now I stand and I open the door and I say, Jesus, come in. And if you would, just with your hands outstretched, just draw them into your heart as you draw him in. You say, Jesus, live in me. Fill me with your love. Touch me with your goodness. Here now in the land of the living, not in just in the sweet by and by, but give me your eternal, your heaven kind of life even now. So, Father, I bless them. And I declare, Father, forgive them. And I speak over them to go and sin no more. For your sins have been forgiven. Father, bless them and keep them. Make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace. Jesus, you're inside now. Give me the ability. Help me to remember tomorrow that you are within me now. Help me remember in a week that you never leave me. You never forsake me. You have the answer to every problem. The solution to every difficulty, to every struggle, that you will never leave me. I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my King. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. City Church, go and be blessed. Touch someone and say, Happy Easter. I'm glad you were here. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.